Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Hey, kiddo. When the oven beeps, can you take the asparagus out?
You have to say it correctly. Asparagus.
Aspergrass?
Aspergrass? No, it's asparagus.
I say aspergrass.
Aspergrass.
Ass is aspergrass.
Yeah, do you have a fire stick?
No.
No? Have you heard about these jailbroke fire sticks?
Yes.
Like, they're huge.
Yes.
Everyone has one now.
They're a big deal.
They're a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I managed to get that Trolls movie from one of those, from that, and I was just like, this is awesome. I don't have one. Personally, but a relative does, and I was like, oh, well, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a terrible movie. Like, I was expecting a far, far worse movie than
that. That's surprising, because it looked like one of the worst films ever made.
Yeah, I mean, but sometimes
I mean, it didn't look Boss Baby level bad, but it looked bad.
But Boss Baby, it's got Alec Baldwin.
Boss Baby looks like it's going to be not only the worst animated film ever made, but and I'm going to put it as a front runner for the worst film ever made.
You know, it's based off a kid's book, so it's like you can't fault it too much.
And by when I say that, I'm also, of course, talking about theatrical release films.
Because,
like, getting worse than Mansquito is pretty hard.
No, don't talk bad about Mansquito, considering the fact that only female mosquitoes suck blood.
Mansquito.
It's a great... No,
Mansquito's hilarious.
Mansquito works just because it is one of the greatest names. Like, I could forgive any...
If
the name is good. Like, one of the things that bothered me was there was a movie called Pterodactyl, and...
Was it Pterodactyl or Terror-dactyl?
That's the problem. It was just Pterodactyl. Like the actual, like...
Yeah, should have been Pterodactyl.
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
like, if they just did that, it would have been
one step
awesome.
Up.
It's like, as much as, like, Sharknado is, like, a horrible movie, when that movie first came out, the name alone was like, okay, I'm gonna give it...
The first Sharknado, I'll give it to you, because, like... It's so ludicrous, it's funny.
It's funny, exactly.
The joke's not funny anymore. They're on, like, Sharknado 7 in space now or something.
Yeah, Sharknado in space.
Although the tagline for the second film was pretty good. It was Sharknado 2, there was another one.
Another Sharknado.
Yeah.
No, it would have been funny if it was, like, Sharknado 2, : Sharknado 2.
just subtitling it the same name.
Yeah,
good.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's good.
But that's why Mansquito works. Is because it's like, oh, Mansquito. That's brilliant. That's like, but I think wasn't there a Masters of the Universe character named Mansquito? I'm almost 100% sure there was.
I don't know. I know there was. I think his name was Buzzoff.
Buzzoff was a bee.
Yeah,
and he had like the claw hands.
I don't think there was.
He got the clamps.
Yeah, he's gonna give him the clamps. I don't think there was a mosquito.
No, there was, because I had him, but I don't know what his name was. But he had a little button on his back that if you pressed it, like fake blood would pump into his chest.
Oh wait, I know what you were.
It was a terrible sculpt. It was like the head was like, what is this supposed to be? Does he suck the blood out of the humans? This is a terrifying concept for a child to play with. But yeah, that's a. I always appreciated the puns that were used in the Masters of the Universe characters, as opposed to GoBots, which just had terrible, terrible names.
Like Psykill and Leader.
Leader 1. And Scooter. You know, it was just like Turbo. You know, it's like, oh, these are all terrible. It's not as good as Manny Faces.
Manny Faces. You guard the road. You guard the hallway because you have Manny Faces.
What was it? The Cyclops guy. Oh God, it was Fudge Nuggets. I can't think of what it was called, but yeah, man. I believe there was a mosquito character. I don't remember if his name was Mansquito, but I think it might have been. All right. Hey guys, sorry about last time. The podcast didn't it recorded, but. When I got home, the actual file was not on the disc, so I don't know what happened, and I apologize for that. You didn't miss anything. It was just mainly Steve and I BSing as we usually do.
Yeah, our new segment, which we can just repeat now.
What?
Just going down the line of Tabletop Gaming News.
No, didn't we do that on the one before that?
No, that was the one that we missed.
Oh yeah, the new segment, like. We got nothing else to talk about, but we do have stuff to talk about on this one a little bit, just a little bit. By the way, speaking of movies, Lego Batman, amazing.
Everyone's been saying it's really, really, really good.
It is the best Batman movie I've ever seen, mainly because it takes Batman so seriously as Batman that it turns around and becomes funny. Like, and they're able to capitalize on the humor of Batman being like, I work alone, you know, like that sort of thing. But yet at the same time, it's kind of heartwarming. Like, Robin is treated like the best Robin that's ever been on cinema in cinema. All the jokes that they make, they don't make a ton of really obscure Batman jokes. But the Batman jokes that they make are all based off the movies. So if you've seen the movies, the jokes are hysterical.
Oh, the films.
They have Bane, and Bane has the Bane voice.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Bane's actually voiced by Doug Benson. So yeah.
This is the figure, and I had it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I had
it's
that
guy. It's Mosquitor.
Mosquitor, okay.
Mosquitor. Oh, it's good stuff.
Mansquito's better. Mansquito's better. Not as good as Mossman. Mossman was the best. He's a fuzzy green dude, and he smells like patchouli. No, that was Skunkor. Skunkor had the patchouli.
Skunkor smelled terrible. There were stories, legends of all that Masters of the Universe toys being sold out, but except for aisles and aisles of Skunkor.
I had Skunkor. I had them all. I loved those guys.
Skunkor.
I you know, I still have them in the basement, but you know what? They're all like in a bajillion pieces. So. What was the guy's name? The guy with the big fist. Fistor.
Fistor. Was it Fisto?
It was Fisto.
I think it was
or Fistor.
Fistor.
But whatever.
There was Ram Man.
Ram Man was great. No, Fisto, he was fantastic. Just because, like, what was your superpower? I got a big fist.
He's got a big iron fist.
Man at Arms. The golden age of the Man at Arms.
He-Man was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Fabulous secret powers were delivered to me. Like, how did anyone not figure out that was just like homoeroticism at its finest?
It doesn't matter because it taught me many things about being a good citizen.
Did it teach you that if you were a super ripped handsome prince, you could also turn into a super ripped handsome superhero?
Yes. And he wanted nothing to do with girls.
That's right.
There was three girls.
It was
in
just him and Ram Man.
And Fisto.
It stands the test of time as a homoerotic masterpiece.
You know what?
Especially the action figures.
And I don't even care. If my son wanted to play with He-Man figures, I'd be like, go to it,
fuck
buddy.
Yeah.
If you wanted to watch the He-Man cartoon, go to it, buddy.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Now, I wasn't condemning it. It's just a homoerotic masterpiece.
Well,
it's just a statement.
And that flies in the face of like everyone who says like, it's going to turn our kids gay.
You can't turn anyone anything.
Yeah, exactly. Millions of boys played with He-Man figures. And I would find it hard to believe finding one who was like says like the impetus for him becoming a homosexual was He-Man. And even if it was, you'd be like, right on.
Yeah, He-Man's pretty jacked. I get
yeah,
it. He's
yeah,
blonde,
yeah,
you know.
I get it. Yeah.
He's tan. He looks good. He's got a smooth voice. Sure.
Hey, what's going on?
I fucking love it.
That's like the best.
And I said, hey.
What's the Skeletor part where he's like, yeah.
Skeletor just goes, and I said, yeah.
Well, yeah, there was some, and you know what the best thing about the Lego Batman movie, and I'm going to do this in the review when we actually do it for Comic Book Logic, is it takes these great, what I call them Kevin moments, because Kevin and I do Comic Book Logic with, he loves bits where it's like really slow and it's the guy just talking to himself. So there's like a scene where Lego Batman is trying to reheat his dinner, and it's this, you know, it's a pretty frenetic movie, but it just slows down for 2 whole minutes of him like trying to microwave his dinner. And it's like he goes up and he puts the microwave. He's like, put it in the microwave. Close the microwave. He closes the microwave and he's like, let's put it in. He hits the button to turn the microwave on, and it says 20, and he's like, oh, I don't want 20 minutes. So he goes back and then puts in 2 minutes, and then it's him waiting 2 minutes for his dinner. It's brilliant. And I'm like, I can't believe that they did this with Batman, and it works so incredibly
it's,
well.
It's what's his name? Job from Resident Evil, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
The guy from the Batman, from the actual Lego movie. And Michael Cera is Robin. Rosario Dawson is Batgirl. It's a pretty brilliant film. Everyone in there, like every voiced character, is someone relatively famous.
All right.
Maybe not relatively, but I mean, if you know like comedy, the comedy scene, and you recognize a lot of the comedians' voices.
I mean, Batman was arguably the best part of the Lego movie.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of good parts of the Lego movie. I didn't necessarily agree with the movie. I didn't think it was that great.
I saw it after hearing all the hype, and it did not live up to the hype.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with the Lego movie was the ending where the boy, like, it's like real life, and the boy's playing with his dad's Legos.
I was okay with the kind of weirdness there, because it also, like, they were actually alive. It was like an odd
combo. Yeah, that was the thing.
Combo.
Yeah, and my bigger problem was the fact of, like, this kid, like, this dad probably works really hard all week long, and what is his hobby? His hobby is his Legos.
Well, that just goes to show you shouldn't have Legos if you have a kid. Legos should not be your hobby if you have a kid.
Well, exactly. I mean, and granted, it was the father's fault in that he should have brought his son into the Legos. Like, you know, you could share your hobby with your kid.
And have a lock on his fucking basement.
Well, and that's the other thing is, like, you know what? There's a lot of things that a lot of parties did wrong. But you know what? I don't blame the dad for being this awful jackass because he just wanted his Legos in peace.
But he's Will Ferrell, though.
Those are, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of Legos in his basement. That was, like, a ridiculous investment that he had.
Yeah, Legos are fucking fortune.
Fortune.
Like, you think 40K is expensive. You get into Legos.
God, I'm sorry we're talking about Legos so much. We'll get into gaming stuff, I promise.
You can game with Legos.
You can. But the...
Actually, I'm fairly certain there's a specific rule set for gaming with Legos, and it even has the pieces. Like, each piece has a points value, and you could, like, put together your own thing, and it, like, generates the stats based on the pieces you've bought. I'm fairly certain that's a thing.
Yeah, probably. I like Legos as much as the next person. They're way too expensive for what they are. But, however, Legos are one of the most... cost to piece, like the cost effectiveness to each piece has remained consistent. So, like, the bigger sets cost more, yes. But, however, it's not, like, extraordinarily high.
I mean, the other thing about Legos, too, is, like, you can argue the cost... So Lego costs is kind of like a different thing. Like, if you are buying them to assemble as their set and, like, put on a shelf, they have a fixed cost. Like, you're like, are you going to get $200 worth of fun out of that Hogwarts castle? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you just buy Legos for, like, your kid to play with, if they become a generic toy that they put together something, take it apart, put together something, then the cost goes way – the cost effectiveness goes way up.
Yeah. No, it's what I like doing. Like, I'll buy just a $20 set and throw it to my daughter, and she'll put it together and play with it, and then take it apart and then play with something else. And that's fine to me. I don't like a lot of the the licensed stuff. Like, I think the licensed stuff is way too expensive for what it is. But what I was gonna say is that there's these sets of Legos, like these Master City sets.
Those are awesome.
Those are fucking phenomenal.
And they have sweet fucking trains and shit.
Yeah, and they're, like, super detailed. Yep. Ton of parts. They're very expensive.
That's something that I always wanted to do is, like, set up a full Lego city.
Yeah.
Like, just do the whole thing, the whole shebang, and do, like, a subway train. And do a fucking freight train, like a countryside thing. Like, you know, at the science industry, you know that city?
Yeah.
I want to do that, but Legos.
Yeah.
Like, well, I've always wanted to do that. Like, on, like, maybe, like, the, like, on the, what the hell would you call it? Like, it's not on the ceiling, but it's, like, on the upper part of the wall.
Yeah.
Like, around the, like, right under the roof.
Yeah.
Like, going around the borders of the room.
Yeah.
So, like, if you look up and you just see, like, the whole city going on, that'd be fucking sweet.
Like, you want, like, trim.
That's what it is. Yeah. I'm always looking for trim.
I was hoping you'd make that joke. it's, like, those are really neat. And actually, at the Museum of Science and History, right, well, I think it's over now, but they had the whole Lego exhibit there. So you could go there, and they had, like, you know, rooms where you could just play with Legos for hours on end.
That's pretty cool.
And they had, like, all of these, like, gigantic... buildings made there. So they had, like, the Golden Gate Bridge all done in Legos. They'd have the White House all done in Legos. Like, really big Legos.
Oh, yeah, we saw some of that stuff when we went there. Yeah, I've always been more of a field museum guy.
Yeah, and they had the, we have Lego World in Scumberg.
Yeah, they don't let you in there unless you have a kid with you.
Yeah, I did, and it's,
Well, because we went in there and I was like, cool, let's go check out the Lego thing. And they're like, oh, you can't come in. And we're like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not fantastic. It's not like, it's...
You're saying I didn't miss anything?
Some of the Lego stuff that they have built is pretty cool. They do have rides, which are kind of dumb. They have the 4D theater, which is kind of nice. I mean, you can go there and you see, like, the theme. Oh, bubbles are coming down. Oh, we're just spraying water on me. Oh, ooh, there's wind. And they have, like, a play area, which is fine. But, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's worth the ticket price. I mean, I think it was $30 a ticket for me and my daughter to get in.
It's kind of expensive.
It's very expensive. And they only have, like, one room where you could sit there and just play with Legos. So, not the best thing in the world.
Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and give that a
Yeah.
But just like that.
But what they do have, which is really nice, and actually I think you can go into, is they have the actual Lego store. But what they have at the Lego store is they have the, you know, like the breakfast cereal things where you could just twist the knob and but they have them just filled with Lego parts.
Yeah, those are great. They have that at the Woodfield Lego store too.
Yeah.
It's like getting gummy candy. Yes, Legos.
Yeah. So I use those quite a bit for like my casting and stuff like that when I'm doing that at home.
Nice.
I just need generic Legos. Just give me the generic Legos. These are the ones I need. And you get like a tub, and it's like $20 for the tub.
Nice.
Or it's not a tub, but it's like a big what's that called? A Chinese takeout container.
Oh, right. Right on.
All right. So let's get to some gaming news. Oh, one last thing. Going to see John Wick today. John Wick 2.
Oh, nice. I was supposed to go see that yesterday, but our car had to go to the shop instead.
Oh, put.
Indeed.
I'd say go see Lego Batman before John Wick 2, but I'm hoping that John Wick 2 is...
Definitely going to see John Wick 2 first.
Well, yes.
I might see Lego Batman, but I'm definitely going to see John Wick 2. I jizzed myself when I first saw John Wick. Like, I had no... Like, I didn't...
No, everyone did. Everyone was like that.
So,
You're not unique
I'm
in your
so
experience.
I'm so excited to see the sequel. Like, I'm so excited.
Yeah, me and the Pat B are going to see it today, so...
Nice.
Okay, so gaming stuff. Let's go gaming stuff. I think the biggest thing is...
However, I am going to see Batman Lego because I've heard nothing but universal praise from it. So, like, even people I know who don't normally like movies at all, like, are, like, generally not big movie people are like, this movie's really good.
Yeah,
so,
I would say it's, like, really good. It's funny and it's enjoyable.
That's what you want out of a movie. Like, not every movie needs to be a life-changing experience.
I mean, like, there's...
Like Mansquito. Yeah. Although Mansquito was kind of life-changing, I guess.
No, I mean, it's like a... I'm trying to think of like an...
I mean, it's a kid's movie, so there's a bar it's not going to break.
Yeah. Like, no, okay, so if we're going by, like, kid's movie standards, it's definitely, like, below the standard Pixar experience, like, that high-tier...
But, I mean, Pixar is arguably the best.
Yeah, it's, like, if you look at, like, Pixar and, like the Miyazaki stuff, like, that's, like, some of that Miyazaki stuff is life-changing.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's true.
And, you know me, I'm not an anime fan, but I will tell you, like, those movies are amazing.
Yes.
And so, like, Pixar, you know, Inside Out, I'm sitting there, like, crying as a grown adult watching Inside Out. I'm like, oh.
Bong bong.
Yeah. And, yeah,
it's bing bong.
Bing bong. Yes. Bing bong. I'm sorry.
And I'm like sitting there like not bawling, but I got, you know, tears coming down.
Yeah. Bing bong, you an OG. Yeah.
Well, I think who is it? It's the Hot Pockets guy, Jim Gaffigan, who says like once you hit like middle age as a man, like a good national anthem will make you cry. It's like you're just like, I don't care anymore. I don't need to put up this guise of manliness. I'm just gonna cry. But yeah, so you have that, and then like, you know, it's definitely in that second tier below that, like that kind of like it's like the epitome of like a really decent Disney film.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Disney's hit and miss most of the time, but it's definitely up there.
Yeah, Disney's got a surprisingly not consistent track record.
Yeah, it all depends. Like recently they've been very good. Recently, I would say.
Yeah, I actually heard the Jungle Book was pretty good, which surprised me.
Well, that's live action. I'm talking like Disney animated.
Oh, Disney. Well, then the last one's what? Princess and the Frog, right?
No, they
Oh, that's right. No, they do the CG ones.
Well,
right.
they have Moana.
Right. I forgot about that.
Moana was fun. I like that one a lot. And Frozen, Tangled, Princess
right, right,
of the
right.
Frog.
I forget that
Big
Disney,
Hero 6,
Disney shifted
Ralph.
To 3D instead of 2D.
Yeah, and it actually, it's not bad. It's fine. But yeah, it's like since like around the Princess and the Frog I have problems with, but it's still a good movie. It's like, as I say, it's that second tier kind of like, like, you know, you're going to get that. It's like Nintendo. You know, at least you're going to get that Nintendo.
Right.
Polish.
There's a level of quality you can expect. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you buy it, it's going to at least hit a certain level.
And, but there's also, before that, throughout most of the 2000s, there was like a really shitty run of Disney movies. Like, unbelievably shitty.
You know what I actually watched on Netflix? Surprisingly, Brother Bear. And this is in that thing. So this is a weird thing because I actually really liked the movie.
Yeah.
However, and this is a serious problem. The music
is awful.
Was atrocious.
Yeah.
Like so bad it actually like I could never be like, oh man, that's a great Disney movie because the music is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how bad it was. I was like, how is this? How did Disney release this in the fucking theater? The sole exception being the Phil Collins song because it's just the Phil Collins song.
Yeah.
Like it's just his song. Like.
Well, it's
but holy shit, it was terrible music, and I'm like, this the story is good, the animation's good, like the moral of the story is good, like this is a solid movie, but the music is so bad, I almost couldn't like I was like I gotta fucking fast forward to these songs, it was fucking terrible.
Yeah, I mean like that Brother Bear, Bolt, Home on the Range, Chicken Little, like. Meet the Robinsons, they were all pretty terrible. Meet the Robinsons was okay, but it's definitely not didn't have that Disney polish.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like they'll have like these great movies, like the classic era, and then they dip down for a little bit. And even someone like that, when that initial dip down in like the 70s and 80s, there's some really good ones.
Black Cauldron is fucking great. I love that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
I'd like to see the uncensored one at some point, because supposedly there is a cut of that film that was never released because they like removed scenes because it was like really making kids upset.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see.
I recently rewatched Dark Cauldron and Black Cauldron, and I think it definitely needs like a Blu-ray release. It needs to be cleaned up, and the sound needs to be upped, and everything like that. It might be better, but when I watched it right there, I was like, "This is like on the equivalent of most Don Bluth movies." I mean, he was like, I think the executive director.
Don Bluth is all right.
Yeah, I mean, some of those are pretty bad. All Dogs Go to Heaven.
I said, all right.
Five O Goes
Hey,
West.
I liked All Dogs Go to Heaven when I was little.
Rockadoodle. Remember Rockadoodle?
Rockadoodle
is
hilarious. I love Rockadoodle.
Will you talk shit about Rockadoodle?
I love Rockadoodle.
That's what I need. I
need an Elvis rooster.
I need an anthropomorphic retelling of the tale of Chanticleer. How about that? But I mean, like Great Mouse Detective, I love.
That's a great movie.
It's such an underrated gem for Disney.
I love that movie.
Yeah, and there's like the
although they did miss a huge opportunity for a pun with the villain and make him a mole named Moliarty.
Yeah,
like that was missed.
Radigan, it's not terrible.
Pretty good. Yeah, well, they didn't use any of their names. Like he was, you know, he wasn't Moriarty. He was Radigan.
Yeah.
So they had
and he was Basil. He wasn't, you know, it was a
Sherlock
Holmes,
right?
Yeah.
But I mean, clearly,
yes.
Actually, no. I'm wrong. He was not supposed to be Sherlock Holmes because he lived in Sherlock Holmes' house.
Yeah,
that's right. That's why he couldn't.
But I mean, he's Sherlock Holmes. I mean, Watson comes in and he does the whole entire thing of like, oh, you were, you know, a soldier in Afghanistan and blah 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 blah
blah.
Well,
I mean, he's very similar to the human he lives with.
It's like how ironic that this happened the exact same way. But yeah, then the Disney stuff in the 90s gets really good. You get stuff, you know,
Aladdin, Hercules.
Hercules.
I love Hercules. Who put the glad in Gladiator?
Hercules. Whose daring deeds are great theater?
Hercules. And of course, James Woods is fucking fantastic as Hades.
Since I got a hunk of moussaka caught in my throat.
Oh, is my hair out?
I love Hercules. I like Tarzan. I like a lot of the, like Tarzan. I think is pretty underrated. A lot of people give Tarzan crap.
I don't think I've ever finished Tarzan.
I like it quite a bit, and I like the music in Tarzan too. It's like as much as Phil Collins.
You'll be in my heart,
and, which is actually I think like
it's a good song.
It's
sappy as fuck, but it's a good song.
That's like one of the low end ones in that soundtrack. That soundtrack's got a lot of great stuff, and it's got Brian Blessed as like the hunter guy.
Pocahontas is pretty bad.
Pocahontas does. It's Pocahontas and The Hunchback of Notre Dame are the two that I'm kind of like, yeah.
Although I do like the way they did the animation in Pocahontas for like a lot of the scenes because they did stylize it a little bit more, which was cool.
Yeah.
But as far as like an overall movie is kind of like,
yeah. I mean, and then you got like,
yeah, the music's good too.
Yeah. Atlantis and Treasure Planet.
I did not
Planets.
Like Atlantis.
I love Atlantis.
Treasure Planet's awesome.
When was the last time you saw Atlantis?
It's
on Netflix now.
It was like a couple years ago.
I would give it a rewatch.
I remember really liking the bomber, the dude with the explosives. Yeah. He was awesome.
Yeah, I got myself a couple sticks of dynamite, some cherry bombs.
Yeah, he's just like pulling out all of his explosives.
I would give it another watch. It's actually, and the thing is that Mike Mignola, the guy who did Hellboy, did all the art design on that. So everything's inspired
that
by...
That explains that look.
Yeah.
But they have that really straight lines.
Yeah.
Mignola's really about like, everything is, there's no curves.
No.
There's nothing is curved. Like Hellboy has horns, they're not curved.
Yeah. No.
The triangles.
And like the cool thing is like Atlantis is one of those things where like, if you're a D&D player, not necessarily like a D&D player, but if like you're a role player, you're like watching it, you're like, oh, this would make a fantastic
underwater adventure.
This is fantastic adventure. I could create a scenario around this.
Yep.
Yeah, I like Treasure Planet quite a bit. I think the animation in Treasure Planet is like the epitome of Disney animation.
There's actually an RPG called Polaris that's about doing underwater adventures.
Yeah.
That if you like Atlantis, you might like Polaris.
Maybe. Probably not.
It seems really cool. It's a I glanced at it a little bit. It's a new one from Paizo. It looks like production values are really good, but it's a post-apocalyptic RPG, except instead of the generic, like, everything's a desert and nuked, it's an underwater future world.
Ooh, underwater future world.
That's what Polaris is. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, that's an interesting thing I haven't seen before. So,
do I get to have gills and drink my own pee?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. You might be able to. I mean, you could probably drink your own pee.
Like, yeah, well, yeah.
That's probably fine. But I don't know if you could have gills.
You could do that in any game, really.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. I don't know if you have gills.
All right, Joe. What are you gonna do? What's your character gonna do? He's gonna drink his own pee.
Hang on. Can you take a save? I need you to take a saving throw. You just drank your pee not too long ago. Oh, you can't pee again.
Oh, gotta wait.
You gotta wait.
Can I pee yet? Can I drink my pee yet?
I really wanted to drink my pee.
My character is a druid survivalist.
His name is Bear Brills.
Bear Brills. He transforms into a bear and drinks his own bear pee.
Yep. He only drinks bear pee.
You're no longer in this game. Go away.
You see a bear peeing into his mouth. Pee, pee in my heart.
All right. So we talked about a half hour on Disney movies. Wonderful. So the big news, and we talked about a little bit about it last week, last time that it got erased, was
the erased cast.
The erased
lost cast.
Yeah, the lost cast is the return of the robot. Robot Ghouliman is coming back.
Reboot Ghouliman.
Reboot that 40K universe because Ghouliman's back.
I like the figure. He's cool. His head is awful. The helmet, all right, but the non-helmet head. Oh Jesus!
Was it just me or did they look like they just plasticized the metal space marine from Inquisitor?
Yeah, they made him bigger. Like he just looks like that. I guess like that's kind of a legit complaint because he is just a giant space marine.
Yeah.
Like, but. I mean, is that, someone who knows 40K, is that what Primarchs are? Are they just giant space marines?
Probably, I don't know.
Because if that's the case, then that's correct. Like, he looks like a giant space marine. If all the Primarchs are giant space marines, then hey.
I want to do a little Marnie is cool guy on his back, like being carried like Yoda. Or like in a baby.
In a papoose.
Like a baby Bjorn in front of him. And not like even a baby Bjorn where he's facing forward, but facing backwards so his head is nuzzling against
him. He's nuzzling. That's good.
That's what I want.
Marnie who's cool guy.
Maybe breastfeeding against him.
The only thing I don't like is that his armor is a little chaosy for me, I thought.
It is.
Like I thought like I was like, it looks kind of chaos.
Better than that. How about we have him carrying a wagon with
a radio flyer?
No, with Marnie is cool with Marnie is in it, but it's like Lone Wolf and Cub.
Oh, nice. He's in the bassinet, wheeled bassinet.
Yeah,
nice.
He's in that. He's like sitting there with like bolters shooting out.
He's got the big piece of wheat in his mouth.
Yes.
That's good.
Oh man, yeah, I think that would be good. And this is because they're rebooting the 40K universe. Everyone, I think it's pretty clear at this point.
I don't think they're rebooting it as much as just progressing it.
They're Age of Sigmar,
which is
it.
Awesome because that's 25 years of stagnation that they're actually going to be like, we're going to go ahead and move the story forward.
They're gonna destroy Cadia, and the Emperor's coming back apparently.
The Emperor.
He's coming back. I'm going to get my Emperor model. I hope the Emperor model is as big as like the Magnus the Red.
Just fucking gigantic.
Just gigantic.
Make him the size of a Titan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now you're speaking. But with a tiny head.
Oh, yeah. A human-sized head. He's got a regular Space Marine-sized head, but his body's a Titan.
Oh, now you're speaking my language.
The Emperor. Good stuff.
No.
Or you could even go a little more interesting, and you could make his lower legs a Bane Blade. So it's just a Bane Blade.
No, this is what I want, okay? I want his body to be a Voltron of all of the other Primarchs.
Ooh, nice. So they're all holding hands.
Yeah, like they're all like kind of holding together. So like his legs are like Robot Gilliam and Lionel Johnson like holding each other, and that's like his leg.
Yes.
Apparently Lionel Johnson is Chaos. That's the thing I read was that Cypher was actually the good guy all along. Shocking. And Lionel Johnson actually went over to Chaos.
Bam. Oh, that's the Dark Angel stuff, right?
Dangles, yeah.
Yeah, so that from what I heard is like this was speculated for a while by the if you read into the background.
Yeah.
But the way it was is like the Dangles did fall to Chaos during the betrayal, but by the time they like the faction that worshipped Chaos beat the loyalist parts of the Dark Angels, they were so weak when like the Ultramarines showed up and were like, "Yo, what's up?" They were like, "Oh, we totally killed those traitors." Mm-hmm. We're loyal to the Emperor.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing of the Dangles were just like lying the whole time.
Yeah.
So like the highest levels of the Dangles like all knew they were just like, no, we're actually worshiping Chaos.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean so the remaining Primarchs, we got Murnius, we got Robot Gilliam, we have Lionel Johnson.
I heard there's a Mortarion.
Yeah, Mortarion. Well, all the Chaos guys are still alive, I think. Well, with a few exceptions. I think Alpharius is dead.
Yeah, the Alpha Legion guy's dead. Is the Night Lords guy dead?
Night Lords! Conrad Kurz of the Night Lords?
Conrad Kurz.
The Night Lords.
That's some good alliteration.
Conrad Kurz.
Conrad Kurz.
Night Lords!
Don't they have Doom Rider? Isn't that his name?
Doom Rider! He's Night riding Lord, right? With Doom. He's the.
That's
Doom
they need to bring
Rider.
Back. Doom Rider.
Doom Rider.
They need to bring back Doom Rider.
That model is so terrible.
Yeah, he was fucking metal. Dude, that was back when they were doing like all the Chaos models were just metal.
Yeah.
It's just like you take some Chaos models, you put them on a fucking shelf, and it's like, yeah, that's a metal cover album. The Noise Marines were the best. They were just dudes with they were just fucking Marines with guitars.
Well, what's that guy's name? That's Perturbo.
Perturbo?
No,
that's the Iron Warriors.
Yeah,
Perturbo.
Iron
I think.
Within, Iron Without, Iron.
That's
within,
still a great book.
Iron Without. I don't know, whatever. But the
the first Iron Warriors book, I can't remember the fucking name of it, but that was actually like the best 40K book I think I read.
I think for the at least the loyalist Primarchs, Lemon Russ is still alive. They never found his body, so Lemon Russ is still alive. Same thing with what's this guy from the Imperial Fists? Because they only ever found Rogaldorn. They only ever found his fist, so he's probably still alive. The only one, Sanguinius is dead for sure. They killed the
Sanguinius.
Sanguinius, he died on the barge. Let's see. We got Vulcan. He might still be alive. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on that. Jagati Khan, I think that's his name, right? From the White Scars.
He's still alive.
I think he's still alive. I mean, like all these guys were just like we go off into the void and they'll come back. So who knows? I mean, I don't even know if they'll make. They might bring Sanguinius back for all I know. I mean, he could be a
gross fucking cyber zombie from the Skitarii.
Yeah.
Although I think they're actually Necrons, if I remember correctly. The Skitarii are actually like worshipping a Necron or something.
Yeah, they're worshipping like the Necron dragon, whatever it is.
Yeah.
On there. But yeah, so it's like, of course, this is like by Games Workshop not making Primarch models for actual 40K, they're leaving money on the table. Because
yeah.
People are going to buy them regardless. People are going to buy Martin.
That and you can use them for, like, just like a random note, like Magnus the Red, you could very easily use him as your greater demon or your...
Magnus the Berserk?
Your demon lord in Sigmar. Like,
yeah.
You want to be like, I want to do a Tzeentch Demon Prince. Bam. There you go.
Well, and that's what the thing is because 40K is going to an Age of Sigmar style of gameplay, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be like Age of Sigmar. Because in Age of Sigmar, it behooves you to take the big model. Like, you want to take your Chaos Lord on Dragon or whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, even though he's a ton of points, he's a beast, and you want to take that.
And you want
that.
The combos, too.
You want the combos.
The Glotkin is one of the best models in the Nurgle army, because A, the Glotkin itself is really strong,
yeah.
And B, it buffs all Nurgle units within range.
The Glotkin has appeared.
The Glotkin.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. That's the reason why it doesn't bother me as much with 40K, because I know they're going to the Age of Sigmar route. So that way, if I wanted to play Space Marines in like whatever the Age of the Emperor or whatever they're going to call it, I know that I'm only going to need like what, two tactical squads, a Primarch, and maybe like, I don't know, a land speeder. Yeah, who knows? A
couple tanks, probably.
A couple tanks.
Got
some cherry bombs.
Got some cherry bombs here. Some dynamite.
Father Guido Sarducci, the guy who plays that character in Atlantis, he has one of my favorite bits of all time. Because he's dressed as a priest and everything like that. And he was, I think it was back when Pope John Paul II was still alive, and he was on Saturday Night Live, and he was explaining like what the new rules on hell were. And he goes, well, according to the Vatican, hell is a lot, and hell's a lot like Earth, except the fig Newtons are inside out. So the fig's on the outside and the Newton's on the inside. So you can't keep it in your pocket because it get all covered in lint. And I was just like, that's like one of my favorite jokes of all time.
It's good stuff.
That's so stupid.
Fig Newtons.
Oh, Jesus H. Christ. All right, so yeah, that's the big 40K news. It's not like it's going to change anything. I will be very interested in seeing the rule set when it comes out. I might even like pick up a couple tech squads just to paint up a Space Marine army. I haven't done one in forever, so I mean it might be kind of fun to do if like it's a small game. Why not? But who knows? But that's the thing, is like, so apparently, the Age of the Emperor is going to be the Sigmar game, and 30K is going to stay like standard 40K with all of the nonsense rules and everything like that. So it's going to have the best of both worlds. I think it's the smartest thing that Games Workshop could do. I wouldn't be surprised either if the way that they split it, if it's successful, where 30K is more the more kind of like Grognardy style game, and Emperor is the more Sigmar game. They bring that back to fantasy, like they actually create a kind of block combat system for people who still want to play that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they would need to release like movement trays at that point then that have holes, because everyone, you know, it's been almost 2 years for Sigmar now.
Yeah.
I assume everyone's playing on circle bases by now.
Probably. There's still a huge faction of people who play with the Ninth Age, or
they're dropping though. They're dropping.
Yeah, Ninth Age. Oh, what's the other war? Wrath of Kings.
Kings of War.
Kings of War.
Well, a lot of them use the single base though. They like they're all in one thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways that they can do that. I would find it really hard for. I'd find it really surprising if Games Workshop would leave that on the table, especially when they don't really need to support it. Like that much, they just create a rule set. You just sell the rule set. You don't have to sell like figures along with the rule set, because you're selling the same figures you are with Sigmar.
Right.
And that's all you have to do.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, it's like, it's as I say, money on the table. It's like, oh, just write a rule set and people will play it.
True.
And you'll sell more models if people want to play that rule set, especially if you make it good. It just makes sense to me to do it that way. All right. So other gaming stuff. Warlord. The company who makes Bolt Action, they're making a samurai game. An actual kind of
Woo!
Like... And you know what a samurai game means?
Shing! The Immaculate Katana Blade.
I know. I didn't want to even bring it up, but I was like, wait, this is too good.
It's the samurai.
It's the samurai. The samurai, the greatest warrior in all of the world.
It's true.
No one could beat the samurai.
It's impossible.
You put any of the greatest warriors of all time against a samurai,
they would lose.
The samurai would win.
Yes.
Yes. Because, because not only does the samurai have the discipline, but he also has the Immaculate Katana.
The Katana Blade, which just slice right through that suit of armor. Like, you come in full plate, bam, you're cut in half.
You're cut in half. You got nothing.
Instantaneously.
It's so funny.
You wouldn't even see him retract his blade.
He appears behind you. I'm sorry.
Teleports behind you. Yeah. Yeah, better luck next time, kid. Or no, nothing personal, kid.
Nothing personal. That's what kid. It is. Yes. Teleports behind.
Gets his chicken tendies.
Oh,
I need more tendies.
Oh God, the alt-right is terrible. It's really funny that came up, because there's this guy I work with, and he's just a terrible human being to begin with. He only comes into my office like twice a week, and he knows that I'm into like, you know, swords and stuff like that. Like, I'm a nerd and geek like that. He's talking to me. He's like, I was thinking of having a guy make me a custom katana blade. And I just started laughing hysterically about it.
Yes. I wanted to get, like, a Hotori Hanzo.
Well, that's what he's like. He's like, well, you know that the katana was the strongest sword. He literally says this to me. He doesn't do, like, the whole katana guy thing.
That's
and
fucking
he's
awesome.
Like, well, it's because they folded the steel over and over and over again. And I was like,
that's fucking awesome.
That's because it was made with bad iron, so they had to get all the carbon out. And it's an incredibly brittle blade because of the folding method. And he's like, yeah, but I mean, it could literally break, like, any European steel. I'm like, no.
European swords were fucking garbage. They were just iron that was just hammered into a shape.
Well, most castle, the really good steel from Europe was excellent at what it was supposed to do. But I mean, it wasn't supposed. You're not supposed to swing a sword and hit another sword with it.
Right.
That's the worst thing you could do with
a
sword.
That's a bad idea.
That's a terrible.
You want to hit the soft parts with the sword.
Yes. You want to stab. That's what you want to do. You want to stab.
The katana was made perfectly for what it was supposed to do. And it was supposed to fight other guys with katanas wearing the armor of feudal Japan.
Wicker.
Which is going to be cut very easily by katanas.
To quote the 1989 Batman, King of the Wicker People. It's Japanese. How do you know? I bought in Japan.
That's right. Bought in Japan.
Bought in Japan.
Look, friends, exotic treats from the Orient.
The game doesn't look terrible. It looks way too fiddly for me. And they're like, you only need 20 figures to play. I'm like, okay. But it looks like there's, like, a lot of cards and tokens. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I need this in my life. But I'm still going to do it because I have a bunch of Clan War figures that aren't doing anything right now. So,
yeah, maybe.
So, Dwayne,
are they going to have sweet hand-to-hand combat as well?
Oh, yeah.
Because they arguably that would be the actual edge that a samurai would have against an armored medieval knight. Would be not the katana, but his ability to, like, his mobility, and he could, like, maybe, like, jump him and, like, get, you know, strangle him.
Teleport from behind?
Yeah, exactly. Like, literally do that. And as he's, like, choking out this fucking giant Prussian, he could just be like, nothing personal, kid.
Nothing personal. No, it's only going to be the samurai. It's going to be just a medieval Japanese game, which is fine because as far as I know, there is not any good medieval Japanese style games, even like fantasy world kind of. There's Bushido, and there's a couple.
But
other
Bushido's
ones.
A skirmish game, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is kind of a skirmish game. It's gonna be like 20 models. So,
but Bushido's got lots of monsters and stuff. It's got like snake people and shit.
Yeah, and like,
isn't there like a Shogun one? I'm pretty sure there's Kensei.
Kensei. There's a lot of actual companies that are, and actually right now there's a lot of companies that are putting out Japanese models. I know a company that we support, Titan Forge, is doing a Kickstarter for like a Japanese fantasy army, which looks
sweet.
Fucking phenomenal. Like their wizard, like their girl wizard, is riding a big fish, and I'm like, that's fucking sweet.
Giant koi.
Yeah, giant koi. And there's another company I think that's doing the. Cool Mini is doing a Japanese game that's in the style of that Viking one they did.
Oh, Blood Rage?
Blood Rage.
That's cool, because Blood Rage is a fucking great game, so.
Yeah, so they're doing that, but with a Japanese style. The figures look really cool. They think they're doing a Kickstarter for that one. I might get in on that one, even though I kind of like Blood, like, I like the Viking stuff a little bit better. But you know what? If it's good, and I think it's Adrian Smith is doing all the art design on it.
Right.
I love me some Adrian Smith. For those who don't know, look, Adrian Smith does like Guar album covers, so
yeah.
Well, he did a lot of the old art for 40K too, so
yeah
so you can find
the 40K, weird shit,
yeah, so the really cool stuff. He's one of my favorite fantasy, like, modern fantasy artists out there. I dig his stuff so much. But yeah, so I mean, there's like a lot of Japanese stuff coming out soon, so we're probably gonna get a lot more katana the Immaculate Katana guy coming out.
Perfect
Hold on a second. All right, so we got about like 20 minutes left in the podcast. Let's do some tabletop gaming news roundup, shall
yes.
we?
Yes.
This is Steve's favorite part, because all he's going to do is we get to just make fun of stuff that's currently posted on tabletop gaming news. It's a good rundown. We actually tried this last week, and we were like, wow, this actually works pretty well.
Yeah, it's my new favorite segment.
It's your new favorite segment. Okay, so starting up, One Page Rules launches Patreon campaign.
What the hell is this?
You don't know One Page Rules?
No.
Oh, so One Page Rules, they do a one page rule set of everything. So they actually made a one page Age of Sigmar rule set as well, which I thought was pretty funny. But the whole idea is that they want you to be able to use whatever minis game you want, and they make a super streamlined, super fast version of it that has that's not necessarily a direct translation, but captures the spirit of the game.
Interesting.
In one page. And that's their whole gimmick, their shtick. And I think they do it for all minis games. I don't know if they do it for RPGs.
Have they done one for Clan War yet?
They might have. They might have. Dude, I don't know. They do a fucking lot.
What do you think of Patreon?
Patreon's pretty cool. I like Patreon.
It's a good way of getting your anime girl art.
I like the ability to directly, like, if you want to, like, support an artist specifically. Because, like, one of the things that always sucked, like, or let's just say YouTube, for example. Yeah. Like, if there's a guy I really like on YouTube, and, like, I know he's not super popular, but, like, I like his content, and I want him to do more, it's cool that I can be like, you know what, I'll give that guy $5 a month. Like, seems good to me.
Should we do a Patreon?
You can do a Patreon, I don't care.
No, I'm saying for Game Classic.
I'm not going to do anything additional for it.
That's what I'm saying. Don't we have to, like, do something additional for
it? Generally, unless you want to just make it give us money.
Give us money? Okay. Well, let's see. Hey, guys, if you want us to do a Patreon so you can give us money. Actually, coming up in a few weeks, we're going to have our... I got to pay for the podcast again and just some other stuff. So I'm going to open up if you want to support the podcast. If you want to get a plug for something or other... I'm gonna open it up at $5 for $5. If you're interested in it, we will say pretty much whatever you want, or you know, we can make fun of whatever you want.
I'll plug your adult website for you.
Plug your adult website. You know, whatever floats your boat. If you want to give us $5, that'll be great.
Yeah. If you host Bad Dragon, I will promote Bad Dragon.
Is that an adult themed website?
It's a furry dildo emporium.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
But also sex toy in general. Okay. So if you've ever wanted to have a dragon vagina that you could have sex with, Bad Dragon is your place.
Tell me more. Okay. Jackal Archipelago board game up on Kickstarter. It's a pirate board game.
Archipelago.
It's pirates. Pirates are out.
Yar, mateys.
A new pirate movie coming out, though.
It's true. It looks pretty cool.
It's got,
like,
it's got Javier Bardem in it.
I know, right? I say, Captain Sparrow, give him a message for me.
Friendo. I always like the pirate movies.
Tell him death is coming for him. Will you send that to him for me?
I would like to see, like, a supercut of someone who did, like, the second and third Pirates movies and just kind of, like, chopped them down to, like, one movie.
Yeah, they should have been one movie.
Yeah. Because I actually kind of like the one with Blackbeard.
That was the last one?
Yeah.
The one before that was bad. The last one was all right. It was much better than the one before it.
Well, the third one has its problems. I've complained about that before.
I like the rock crabs in the third one.
The rock crabs.
Yeah, they're just crabs made of rocks. Like, those things are cool.
So we also have the Gale Force 9 previews game mechanics of In the Time of the Daleks. The Doctor Who board game.
Yes, because that's what Doctor Who needs, a giant $70 4X game.
Well, they used to have Doctor Who minis back in the day. You could still get them from Black Tree Designs.
It's so dumb. Like, why?
Because there was a pretty big... actually, I think it was Games Workshop used to do the Doctor Who... it was either a board game or an RPG or something like that. It was like Car Wars.
RPG, I'll give you, you could do a Doctor Who RPG, but a minis game? Like, no.
I think the only
unless
way
it's just like Daleks versus Cybermen.
I think the only way you could really the problem with the Doctor Who game is that Doctor Who is such a big Deus Ex Machina that it's like, how do you play the game either with Doctor Who or B without Doctor Who? Like, does a player have to be Doctor Who? Should Doctor Who be the GM?
Well, wouldn't they all be his companions? Isn't that the
yeah? But I mean, like, how do you do it? I don't know. It's weird. All right, Warlord Games releases IS-2 Heavy Tank Plastic Set. It's for bolt action. It's a nice tank. It's a nice set. Warlord Games puts out pretty decent plastic sets. Rubicon does it better. But Rubicon doesn't do an IS-2, so there you go. Asmodee releases Expedition Endurance for Time Stories. Endurance for T-I-M-E Stories.
Time Stories is a very popular game right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a time travel game where you have to solve, like, puzzles or mysteries or something. I don't remember. It's very popular.
1914. What really happened to the crew of the Endurance in the Imperial Transantarctic Expedition?
Is it a Cthulhu game?
Is it a Cthulhu game? Because Cthulhu did it.
Yeah, it would be Cthulhu.
It would be Cthulhu.
Maybe they got eaten by a flying polyp.
A flying polyp? Like an anal polyp?
I mean, that they might look like anal polyps. They're just called flying polyps.
What about a nasal polyp?
It could look like that, too.
I get those every once in a while. Those are not fun.
No, maybe you have a flying polyp inside you.
Oh, God! I can see through time!
I can taste time!
New Demon Prince and Star Player available to order from Forge World. Oh, Star Player for
Blood Bowl.
Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl's huge!
Yep.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, everyone's playing Blood Bowl.
How did this happen?
Because they released an awesome version of Blood Bowl.
It's not
That's
even,
how it happened.
It's not even an awesome version of Blood Bowl. It's Blood Bowl. It's the same rule set.
Right, exactly. But it has awesome models. So it's an awesome version of Blood Bowl. So it has the rule set that everyone wanted, the fucking original, and it has models that everyone wanted, awesome Blood Bowl models.
I literally went to Games Plus, and two people while I was there just browsing came in and were like, I need the new dwarf book for Blood Bowl. And I'm like, I've never heard two people come in and asking for anything workshop in like the last 5 years. Like, and the same thing. And they said, we're sold out. Like, that's just unbelievable to me. But hey, more power to you. We're not a sports ball podcast. We could give two craps about it, but hey, if that's...
Hey, the minis are cool. I can't knock those models. Those orcs look fucking badass.
They do. And so it's like, I feel sorry for all those people who tried to take the place of Blood Bowl now that Blood Bowl was
rip
gone.
Rip Guild Ball.
Rip in peace, Guild Ball.
Rest in pepperonis.
I was actually, one of the guys I game with was, I went over just to kind of check and see, we'll watch some games being played last week. And he was like, you want to play some Guild Ball? I'm like, no. No, that's not for me. Guild Ball, not for me. This is, okay, so Cool Mini, the new game for Cool Mini is called Rising Sun. That's what it is. The Kickstarter is drawing in less than a month away. From what I hear, it's supposed
there
to
is
be
a house in New Orleans.
They call the Rising Sun. By the way, that's not done by Creedence, just so you guys know.
I don't even know what Creedence is.
Creedence Clearwater Revival? You don't know the CCR?
Rolling
down the river. Yeah, they do.
Very good.
They do a version of that song. That's not. They didn't
I know
do the
they do
original.
Bad Moon Rising, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
That's a good song. Isn't there a Tommy Lee Jones werewolf movie called Bad Moon Rising?
I don't think it's Tommy Lee Jones.
I think it is.
No. I know what you're. I think there is a Bad Moon Rising, but I don't think it's Tommy Lee Jones.
I gotta look this up. This is something that mind just exploded.
No, there's a werewolf movie called Bad Moon. It's not called Bad Moon Rising.
Let's see.
Yeah. There might be a Bad Moon Rising, but I think the one you're thinking of is Bad Moon.
I could have sworn that it was Tommy Lee Jones in it. I got to find out now.
We're going to search every hen house, dog house, outhouse, Tri-County area. I didn't kill my wife. I don't care. He won the Academy Award for that, by the way. I don't know if you remember that, but he won Best Supporting Actor for that.
For The Fugitive?
For The Fugitive.
That's pretty rough.
He did a great... The Fugitive is a movie... That's a great Chicago movie, too. But The Fugitive is a, it holds up. It's one of those movies that you're just kind of like, The Fugitive, oh, that's just a punchline from like a Conan O'Brien sketch. No, it's a pretty good movie. While Steve looks that up, let's go. Fantasy Flight Games releases The Investigators of Arkham Horror. Is Arkham Horror still good?
Yeah, second edition's good. Eldritch Horror is also really good.
Yeah. New Boromir.
Mansions of Madness is the nut, though. It's like... Yeah, if you want to play a really good Lovecraftian game that's Fantasy Flight made, I highly recommend Mansions of Madness.
It's Lovecraftian?
It's really good.
New Boromite releases available for Beyond the Gates of Antares. Poopmen. New Poopmen. I don't think we have anything. Florence Knights fantasy football team up for Kickstarter. These are Bretonians, it looks like.
Well, Tommy Lee Jones is in a film called Black Moon Rising.
Black Moon Rising.
And it has nothing to do with werewolves.
All right, so you got to... Yeah, there's a werewolf movie called Bad Moon, and so I think you just got them too confused.
Yeah, it must be it.
Do you have that new beer, the one that has Skittles in it? You know, Skittlebrow?
Skittlebrow.
That beer does not exist. All right, just give me a six-pack of Duff and a bag of Skittles.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so the Grebo Games has some Bretonian football players for your Blood Bowl, if they don't do that already for Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl, one of the only things that's keeping the fantasy world alive. by the way, Necromunda is coming out. Have you seen this?
I did not see that.
Yeah, they're re-releasing Necromunda.
All right.
For and it's going to be huge. Necromunda may be bigger than Blood Bowl. I'm not 100% sure on that.
I think it is a possibility because, I mean, the Necromunda fans were pretty diehard. But then again, the Blood Bowl fans were also pretty diehard.
But no, Blood Bowl fans are like weirdly diehard. Like, you don't understand that level of support for a game that, A, disappeared 15 years ago, but and they still played it every year. Like, it would dwindle. There'd be like only like... There'd still only be, but there'd be six players coming in playing their Blood Bowl. But you'd be still be like, wow, there's six people playing Blood Bowl. This is ridiculous. And even they, and now it's come back. All those people who are playing, what was the Mantic one? Dreadball?
Dreadball.
Yeah, Dreadball, Guild Ball.
Dreadball didn't last too long because I think Dreadball was terribly unbalanced.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't play sports ball.
This is also true.
Mofidius and Free League Publishing announced Coriolis RPG. It's about how the water flows down your toilet.
That cracked me up.
You got to call up Australia to see if it goes the other way.
That's good.
Just like Trump did. I think that's why Trump upset the Prime Minister of Australia is because he asked him about the toilet. Does the water
and
go
he other? Was on a long distance call for a really long time. And the Prime Minister was like, $900 dues.
I'm going to talk to my Prime Minister. Oh, I'm going to talk to my representative. Andy!
Trump's going to get impeached.
It's calling up the Prime Minister, making fun of the Prime Minister, Steve. It's a bootable
he's
offense.
He's going to get booted.
It's a bootable offense. It's on our flag.
That's right.
God bless Australia. Let's see what else we got. Rotten Cape Survivor's Guide 1 up on Kickstarter. What the hell's Rotten Capes? Is that like a superhero thing?
Oh, I guarantee. I know. All right. So I know nothing about this, but here's what I'm going to. That is a superhero RPG that is done where the superheroes are zombies, just like Marvel Zombies.
Oh.
That's my guess. Am I right?
Let's see. What's worse than a zombie apocalypse? How about a zombie apocalypse that also includes zombie superheroes?
Yeah. Look at me. I'm good.
Look at me. I'm good. Why would you want to play that?
Because Marvel Zombies was really popular.
Yeah, it was.
Marvel Zombies was fucking stupid. Like, I hated that shit. That was the dumbest. Because they were like. All right. Did you read Marvel Zombies?
Yeah, I read the first one.
The zombies talk? That was the fucking dumbest thing. It's like, oh, so they just turned. So basically, they were just rotting and evil. That was the only difference.
Well,
it's
I think zombies are pretty interesting right now. Like, we're reaching. Since we reached peak zombie, right? Like, well, obviously, like, three or four years ago, we reached peak zombie.
It should be vampire time now, I believe.
It's vampires?
Yeah, well.
That's how the logical progression goes.
Well, no, there's usually a bounce between, like, vampire. So I heard this theory at some point, and it seems to kind of hold true, but when Democrats are in office, like when it's a more left-leaning government,
yeah,
zombies are the popular supernatural enemy.
Yeah.
And when there's a more right-leaning government, vampires become the popular supernatural entity. I have no. This is not my theory. It's just something I heard.
I'll have to look into that one. I don't know if that necessarily jibes with what I'm thinking, but
I'm not sure.
I could see it. I think we reached peak zombie like 3 years ago. So now all of a sudden, like all the zombie stuff that's coming out is pretty like spins on the zombie, like iZombie. You ever watch that one?
I heard about it
on Netflix. It's not bad. It's by the same guy who did Veronica Mars, which is a show I liked a lot. So an iZombie just kind of feels like Veronica Mars with zombies. So it's not terrible. It's all right. It shouldn't be a 20 episode a season show. That does not hold up well.
I'm gonna watch Deepwater Horizon today.
I'm sorry, but
did you see it?
No.
Oh.
But it's got Mark Wahlberg in
it. Yeah, it's Mark Wahlberg.
Oh my God, this Deepwater Horizon's gonna explode.
The oil rig's blown up.
That's terrible. We shouldn't make fun of that.
What? Mark Wahlberg?
No, a tragedy like that.
Oh, is it a real story?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's the one that happened in the Gulf of Mexico.
Dude, I don't pay attention to that shit.
I know. But we shouldn't make fun of that. A lot of people died. It's terrible.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I just like him with Transformers.
No, ma'am, no.
That's from the happening. I'm a science teacher.
Oh, man.
No, man.
I like
no.
disaster flicks. The last one I saw was, the one with the rock.
Oh, San Andreas.
It was really good.
Well, of course, it's San Andreas, and it's The Rock.
Yeah, I really like that one.
And The Rock is incredibly charming.
It's true. And then we're watching Don't Breathe, and
Don't Breathe is good.
And there's another one.
It's not as great as everyone says it is, at least in my opinion. Still a good movie. Still a decent horror flick.
Cool.
But I see my thing with horror flicks is I like my horror flicks to be a little more. I would say, like, I like a little bit more jump scare in mine, but, like, quality jump scare.
I'm a huge fan of the anthology horror film, which is something that's kind of gone by the wayside.
Oh, I love anthology horror.
But ABCs of Death 1 and 2 have come out, and I like that.
Anthology films are great as long as 51% of it is good.
Right.
If it's anything more than, like, 50% of it is bad, you're just, it's like, no, I can't watch this.
And VHS is good, too. VHS 1, 2, and Viral. I liked all of those movies.
I liked the first one. I didn't like the other ones. ABCs of Death, as I said, the first one was about 51% good, and the second one, I think, was hedging way too over that 50%
there
mark.
There were some fucking great ones. Like, the my favorite one that
the
I
farting,
remember...
The farting death?
No, was the was Masturbate. It was the two guys, they were strapped to the chair, and they had to watch some fucked up shit, and they had to jizz, and whoever jizzed first survived. If you didn't, you got killed. And, like, whatever they were looking at was something horrible.
Well, that's definitely not one of the ones I liked.
I like that. that's my style. That's my fetish.
that's my fetish. But what I'm saying with the zombie stuff is now that new one out there, the Santa Clarita Diet, which is on Netflix.
Is it a zombie thing?
That's a zombie thing.
Oh.
That's why she's, like, constantly craving human flesh, is because she's a zombie. But it's, like, taking zombies into, like, a weird kind of, like... It's more of that classic, like, John Carpenter, where being a zombie is very symbolic of other things. Like, zombies are always going to be symbolic, except in, like, The Walking Dead, where it's like...
They're just zombies?
Well, The Walking Dead is like, we are The Walking Dead. Yes, we get that. We got that after the first season.
Yeah.
Now Walking Dead
people
is just...
People are the real enemy.
Yeah. Now The Walking Dead is just a survivalist wank show. It's all about, like, these people, like, these apocalypse preppers.
Oh, yeah, that's why it's so popular.
Yeah, it's like, it's these people going, like... Zombie apocalypse happens, I'm gonna be super prepared. You know, it's like, no. But besides that, okay. Do we have anything else? Let's see. We could go down forever, but
it's true.
Land of Zion card game up on Kickstarter. That sounds religious. I don't even want to talk about that. Dusk City Outlaws RPG up on Kickstarter. Spheres of Might, a new Pathfinder Marshall system up on. God, look at all this Kickstarter BS.
Yeah, Kickstarter is a fucking dearth of garbage these days.
It really is. I mean, like, none of this stuff sounds fun. Heroes in the Half Shell Dice Masters soon available. Set now available. Dice Masters, Ninja Turtles, Steve.
Finally,
something.
That's
by
what
the
I
way,
wanted.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So let's this be the last thing we talk about. Did you see the fucking preview for that movie?
That movie looks fucking terrible.
Did you see that preview for that
movie? The movie looks fucking terrible. People are excited about that movie, and I'm like, why?
One of the things, I don't remember if I talked about it on this podcast or another podcast, when you legitimately hear someone say, I hope we get the gritty Power Rangers movies we deserve. Like, and that's one of the comments on there. Like, what is wrong with you people? The Power Rangers was never supposed to be dark and gritty. It is a terrible show with terrible acting and terrible special effects. Well,
that's the thing. Like, it's not even, like, the Power Rangers was, all right, the Power Rangers wasn't supposed to be anything other than a very easy way for Saban to make money.
Yeah.
Because they took old as fuck Japanese Super Sentai footage and put in the most low-grade possible live-action American scenes around that as they could.
Exactly.
The entire thing was to make tons of money spending none. And it was, obviously, because there's still Power Rangers shows, extraordinarily successful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't behoove you your love of Power Rangers. I'm not saying you in particular. I'm talking to the general public at large.
I don't like Power Rangers. I like Super Sentai.
It's not much better.
But it's a huge difference.
I appreciate your love of this show. I have grown to that part of my life where it's like, I'm not going to yell at you and yell at people and say, like, why do people like Pokemon? I feel that on the inside, but I'm not that guy who's going to be like, I think Pokemon is stupid.
It's got everything, man. It's got the competitiveness. It's got the collectability.
That's fine. I get it. However, with the Power Rangers... Do you really think we need this as a society, a gritty Power Rangers movie?
It's really weird.
Do we need this, Steve?
Maybe seeing Bryan Cranston as Zordon would be worth it. maybe that'll be enough.
It's got that stupid robot, too.
Dude, he looks terrible. They should have just used the original one where he looked stupid as shit. Now he just looks awful.
And they got putties?
Do they have putties?
Yeah, well, they're like big rock men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what? At least if they go...
like, okay, that was funny. I'll give you that
the
one.
The putty noise. Oh, yeah. No, putties.
And they have Rhea Repulsa, who doesn't... And I think that the reason why they... Rita doesn't look like she does in the show is because, like, I think there's some rights issues. Like,
oh, man.
But it's like... Still, like, what is the point of all of this?
Dude, the Zord looks terrible.
I don't even care. The Zord didn't look great to begin with.
But it looked like Voltron. It was like there's a lion, there's a this, there's a that, and when they come together, you can see the pieces. So it's like, oh look, there's the Triceratops foot. Like he looked like an amalgam of things.
Yeah.
Now it just looks like a weird
robot.
Yeah. Of oddness.
Robot man.
It looks fucking bad. That movie looks fucking terrible.
When I was a kid, you'd occasionally at like a, but it would be like a Tuesday. You remember Tuesday Morning, that store? It was it was one of those stores where they would buy like a bunch of crap wholesale and then resell it, and it'd be like really cheap.
Oh,
but occasionally, like back in the day, they would get old Japanese toys and sell them, and every once in a while, you'd find like a cool robot figure or something like that that would kind of work like Voltron or something, like, you know, because there's like 1,000 shows that were ripped off of Voltron in Japan and shows that Voltron ripped off of. Yep. But I had one that I got at a Tuesday Morning store, and it was fantastic robot. It was a giant robot. It had to be, I don't know, let's say 18 inches tall, right? And inside there, the chest piece opened up and the legs opened up, and there was another robot inside that.
That's
right?
Awesome.
So you take that robot out. And inside that, like that, let's say that robot was about like 9 inches tall. You'd open it up, and there was like a little 6-inch robot.
See, open that? Up now we're talking.
And when you open up the little 6-inch robot, there was a little rubber guy inside there who ran that. So, like, I don't care what show this was based off of. That toy was phenomenal. And if I could,
I think that might be Gokaiser.
Well, maybe. I don't know what that means. I don't know what those words mean.
There's a lot of...
I understand the word go and the word Kaiser, but I don't know how they mesh together into Japanese. But I remember having that toy and loving that toy. And that's the thing with the Power Rangers is, like, you don't give a shit about the TV show. You never cared about the story progression.
You care maybe about the
some, toys. Some people cared about the Green Ranger. I understand
that's
that.
That's true. He had the flute. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. And then he would bring the robot, and then you knew that shit was about to hit the fan when the Power Rangers, their Megazord had to merge with the Green Ranger Zord.
Yeah. Because
then you knew
shit was going down.
Yeah, shit was going down. And I didn't even like this show, but I knew that. I knew
everyone knows the Green Ranger.
Everyone knows the Green Ranger, and Tommy the Green Ranger had to, he lost his powers and became the White Ranger.
Yep.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal to people. Did you know the Yellow Ranger died? The girl played the Yellow Ranger?
Dreamy? Oh, yeah, she died a long time ago.
Yeah,
she died in a car accident.
I didn't know that. I just found out about that. But anyway, but yeah, you didn't care about any of that. You just liked the toys because the toys were cool.
Toys were fucking sweet.
People like robot toys, or boys. I shouldn't say just boys, but little kids like robot toys where the like little robots become bigger robots.
Yep.
I don't know what it is or like what the psychological impact of that is, but people like that
shit. It's probably because they are... I don't know. Like, I mean, my only guess would be like, because one, they're non-threatening because they're a robot. Two, they're agender because they're a robot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very tactile. Like, everything about them is like designed for play. Like, it's like you move them around, you open them up, they have compartments. You like Transformers. Like,
yeah.
That's, you know, like he's a truck, but then you take him apart and he's a robot. And like, there's a the act of transforming it, you're doing something and playing with it at the same time. It's not like a G.I. Joe where, like, you have a little dude who gets, like, accessories. Like, the act of playing with the G.I. Joe is pure imagination. There's nothing physical that the G.I. Joe does that makes him a toy.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, you're like, yeah, action figure. With a Transformer, he's physically a toy in addition to using your imagination. Like, moving his moving parts, turning him into a tank. That's a fun activity in itself.
I think what you're saying, I think I'd like to add on to that there's like a multimodal level of play with it, because like let's say the old Voltron ones, you had the guy would go into the lion,
yep,
and you could play with the lion.
Yep.
But then the lions would form into Voltron, and so you have like three levels of modal play.
Yep.
And so you had like some differences going on there. There must be something to that, like with the Power Rangers thing the same way. It's like you have these multi layers of play that all come together and you form this giant robot.
Yeah, so it has to be that.
It's got
to
be that. Anyway, that's about it for this cast. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. Best way you can help out the podcast, like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also listen to us on the YubTubs. I believe we're just under Game Classy Podcast. You could also listen to our sister podcast. You can listen to Comic Book Logic, which me and Kevin review comic book movies. So we're going to be doing Lego Batman next week. As you heard me say on this
spoiler.
Spoiler alert. It's pretty fantastic of a movie. I look forward to dissecting it a little bit with Kevin. In terms of that, like, is it a good movie? Like, it's enjoyable as fuck, but is it a good movie? You could also listen to Play On, where Steve and Pat talk about what's the new thing? What's the new hip thing that everyone's talking about with video games?
I think it's still Switch. I don't think there's a new
Switch.
Yeah, I don't think there's a new like big thing like that yet.
What about the Yoshi one with the
oh, Yoshi's Woolly World with the Poochie amiibo?
Poochie,
it's pretty awesome.
Where's Poochie?
he died on the way back to his home planet.
Aww.
I didn't know Poochie was an alien.
Is it? Have we gotten to that point right now where Nintendo could do that without people making the obvious Simpsons?
We're definitely at that point.
Okay,
for sure.
Because I know, like, when I first heard that, I was like, Poochie, like from The Simpsons.
Yep. No, we are definitely at that point.
Well, Yoshi's Woolly World. I know my wife's a knitter, so she like thinks that's really cute, and she wants to make a little Poochie.
Oh, the game's really fun.
Oh, there you go.
It's a really easy to play platformer. It's kind of like I think it's like the closest thing would be like Kirby.
Yeah.
Because Kirby was like a platformer made for people to begin platformers.
My daughter's still a little too. When do you think would be the appropriate age to start like really playing like handheld games like on Nintendo?
Maybe like 6?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking too. My daughter's 5. She's going to be turning 6. But I still think that might be a little too young. I think maybe like 7 or 8.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember when I had my first gaming console, but it was pretty early.
I had my first gaming console in 1989, so I was 8 years old. So that's what I could think of at that time. Well, I had Odyssey at that time before then, but Odyssey was like literally.
I had a Vectrex.
Yeah.
Vectrex was the shit.
I was basically playing Pong and Pac-Man at that time. So
Vectrex had color overlays to put on the screen so you could do. I had the Star Trek game on Vectrex. That was fucking awesome.
I was playing the one. What game was I playing over at Pat's where they have the controller that had the cards that went over?
Oh, that's Intellivision.
Intellivision. That's what I was playing over at his place.
The card overlay.
Yeah, the card overlay. And you also could listen to Weeb Town with Steve and Young Giuseppe, where they talk about anything Nipponese.
Yeah, we're gonna do another episode at some point.
Yes. So, Steve, until next time.
Fire Emblem. It's really good. Fire Emblem Heroes. That's the big thing right now.
Fire Emblem Heroes?
Yeah.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
That's all right.
Game Classy.